is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Hey, welcome back in. Kicking off the second hour of the Budweiser Sports Line here on Sports Radio 740. Longshore McKnight, raring to go, and our man Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, joins us via our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Travis, good morning, sir. Hope you're doing well.
I'm great. How are you guys?
Wonderful, wonderful, as always. Needing information. Got to find out what's going on. So far, early on, anything, any sort of granules of information that's trickling out about the tone and the progress being made at spring practice at Alabama?
Yeah, you know, I think as much as anything, we're figuring out once again that spring is a time for experimentation. You're seeing different combinations at some different spots up front on the offensive line, seeing Jonah Williams going from right tackle to left tackle and trying to sort through that as they look for a replacement for Cam Robinson at that left tackle spot. And, you know, also in the secondary, it's probably been home to maybe more interesting tidbits than anything else with Minka Fitzpatrick working at corner after spending the second half of last season at safety. Trayvon Diggs getting a look once again in the secondary after finishing last year with the wide receivers. So, you know, for a change, there hasn't really been a quarterback controversy to or a competition at least to open spring drills. So that's been a little bit different. But there's been some interesting items at some different spots.
Yeah, I would say so. I think experimentation is a key word. You do see a lot of moving around, just seeing how it'll work here and there. Do you think any of this will stick, though, Travis? Do you think there's going to be a big move where, maybe this, we ought to leave this guy here?
You know, I think the ones that to me is most interesting when you talk about just sort of a wholesale potential move from one side of the ball is Diggs. I'm not convinced that's going to stick. I think the guy is such a playmaker with the ball in his hands. It's hard for me to envision him just totally making the switch from offense to defense. That said, you know, they have recruited at a level at wide receiver with guys like Jerry Jeudy coming in, Tyrell Shavers, and another early enrollee. Maybe Robert Foster finally plays up to his potential in his final year in the program. Obviously, Calvin Ridley comes back there. That, you know, they have the numbers and the depth at that position to be able to, you know, afford to give up a guy to defense if it comes down to it. So that's the one I'm probably watching the closest. You know, elsewhere, there's shifts like Ben Davis going from inside linebacker to outside linebacker, but that's not all that uncommon here. I mean, you've seen plenty of guys do it in the past. You've seen plenty of guys do it in-game. They've had players like Dante Hightower that they would work at inside linebacker on early downs and then slide him outside to a rush-in spot on passing downs. So, you know, Rashawn Evans is the most recent example of that. So I would say Diggs is maybe the most intriguing to this point. The others, it's not as much of a big jump in terms of going from one side of the ball to the other.
Travis, I'm going to go off script a little bit, so get ready. Break down and be ready to move here on this. Because about a week ago, week and a half ago, I sat courtside after Troy's game against Duke, and I watched South Carolina come back from behind to beat Marquette in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. And, I mean, they were good, and goodness knows I love Sindarius Thornwell, but even then, you know, with Duke in the deal and with North Carolina in our deal in Greenville as well, I didn't think South Carolina looked like a Final Four team. And I guess the applicability of your presence in this, because I know you follow the tournament well, and I've been following you on Twitter during the Elite Eight. How in the world does Alabama beat a Final Four team two times in a season in basketball? That certainly seems like something to build upon for Avery Johnson.
Yeah, I would think so. You know this, Barry. You've watched so much college basketball. It's all about matchups. And styles. And I think that South Carolina, whereas Sindarius Thornwell is a star, I don't think there's any doubt about it, stylistically and in terms of how they can match up and the type of lineup that they go with, you know, Alabama matches up pretty well with South Carolina player for player. You know, and in some of those games, if you know, even if Thornwell got his, it wasn't a case where maybe the other guys around him went off too. And that's the key with South Carolina. You know, Thornwell was great again Sunday against Florida, but, you know, Dozier was huge. I think he had 17 in the game and played at an elite level. So, you know, they're getting it from other guys right now. Their post played really well, I thought, on Sunday. So it was more of a balanced effort. And when they get that to go along with Thornwell and their mindset that's been instilled by Frank Martin, it's not so much about really your ability to advance, I would say, in the tournament. Mm-hmm. It's how tough are you to knock out. You know, and South Carolina is just a tough team to knock out and to put away. And Florida found that out the hard way Sunday, a 7-point lead at the half. Carolina comes back in the second half and wins by 7, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was interesting in your piece this week, one of them this week, you talked about how it's an interesting Final Four in terms of marquee teams being there, and maybe the ticket man might have a hard time moving some of his product.
Yeah, you know, as Alabama fans found out a couple of years ago, just getting to the Valley of the Sun isn't easy, and it's certainly not cheap. So if you can get out there as one of the fans of one of these four teams, I think the ticket will be fine. Now, it all depends on if you actually want to see the game when you get in the building, because playing this thing again in a football stadium, how many of the seats in University of Phoenix Stadium will actually have a decent view of the floor? You know, that's the biggest issue I have with this. I think the NCAA has done a good job of getting away from domes, at least until we get to the Final Four. But it is kind of a letdown. We play arena basketball now all the way up till the Final Four, whereas we used to have regionals in domes too. Yeah. You know, you'd have three or four regionals in domes and then the Final Four in a dome. At least we've gotten to the point now where regionals are contested in arenas. But to me, it's a letdown if I'm a fan and I'm going to the event to show up thinking I'm going to watch a Final Four when really I'm going to watch it the way I would have if I had stayed home, and that's on a big screen TV in the arena.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the NBA doesn't play the finals in a dome. They're in arenas, and isn't it all about eyeballs on TV sets? I mean, that's where they're making all their money. I'm wondering why they feel like they need to sell 25,000 more tickets for people to sit, you know, way up in the nosebleeds.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been to dome basketball in places like Atlanta and St. Petersburg, and none of them are better than the other. It's all bad. You know, again, you're talking about 50,000 seats, I guess, for basketball, but only 10,000 maybe have a decent view of the game. But, you know, it's all about you know, whatever people are dumb enough to pay for, you know, we'll gladly let them pay for it.
I think it was P.T. Barnum who once said that nobody will ever go broke overestimating the American public. And, yeah, you're right about that. Travis Ryer is with us, BamaOnline.com. I got a thought again about Alabama spring practice, and it's mostly a local thought for us here in Montgomery. We've been, of course, following O.J. Howard during his career. He's from up in Prattville, and we've had him in the studio before. Great guy, and he's about to make a lot of money. With his loss at Alabama, we keep hearing that Miller Forrestall is the next one in line there. I do think that they'll obviously lose something without O.J. Howard at that tight end H-back deal. Your thoughts on that position with a guy like Miller Forrestall or maybe somebody like Irv Smith?
Yeah, I think they have options there, but you're right. I mean, you know, O.J. he's a first-round draft pick and has been that probably for a year or two now at least. So I do like the upside of Miller Forrestall, though. I think in terms of the receiving tight end, you know, this was a guy in high school that was used essentially as a wide receiver. So he came to Alabama advanced in that department. I think the bigger questions with Forrestall, given that he showed up here last year at about this time at around 225 pounds, was that would he hold up as a blocker? Because they're still going to ask that of their tight ends in this offense. Well, I thought he showed last year that while he still was getting there, although he put on some weight in his first 6 to 8 months in the program, got up to probably around 235, 240, the willingness was there. And that's as much of it as anything. And so I think he'll be okay there. I do like Irv Smith Jr. a lot. I think that he was a guy that was sort of undervalued because Miller did come in and make a pretty big impact quickly. He had 8 catches, I believe, in the spring game last year. So, you know, that sort of vaulted him up the pecking order of some of the fans in terms of his ability to play. But I think Irv Smith Jr. is going to be right in that mix as well to go along with Hale Hinches, who comes back as a junior. So they feel good, I would think, about their top 3 tight ends. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if Major Tennyson, an early enrollee, can give them something as a true freshman. Ronnie Clark, a running back, has apparently worked some at tight end H-back during the early practices this spring. Maybe they have a role for him there. But, you know, replacing OJ in terms of a talent won't be easy. But I think they probably feel pretty good about what they have in the pipeline.
Travis Schreier, BamOnline.com, joining us on our Dreamland Barbecue Guest Hotline. Baseball tonight, Auburn and Alabama get together here in Montgomery for what we like to call a little exhibition game, a non-conference game, I guess, if you will. Can this team be building momentum even with a 1-5 start in the league?
Yeah, I wrote about that yesterday. They lost 2 out of 3 on the road at South Carolina, but you know, they did so in a manner that maybe they even got some confidence out of it because they were an out away Saturday from clinching that series against the top 10 team on the road in Columbia. A walk scored on 3 wild pitches, so that kind of ruined that possibility Saturday, and Carolina went on to win in extra innings and then took the Sunday game as well. But, you know, for as much as this team has struggled in the first 20-25 games, a 2-2 week on the road last week, I think, was a positive for them to go on the road at UAB, get a midweek win, and then just get a win of any kind in that series with South Carolina. It's hard to say. I like Garrett Rooks, the kid they're running out there tonight. He's a freshman left-hander. Been very good so far. I like the matchup that they'll go with pitching-wise. It still continues to be the offense. I think pitching, for the most part, has been okay. They still struggle to score enough runs. And so they haven't fared well in this midweek matchup with Auburn so far. I believe Auburn's won, 7 out of 8 down there?
That's correct.
So, more importantly for them, obviously, is getting back into SEC play this weekend and doing some good things there, but still looking for their first series win, 3 series into the season. But, you know, I'm still kind of a wait-and-see approach. I do think last week was a positive for the most part. But, again, you know, important for them to win tonight, but more important for them to finally get an SEC series win this weekend at home against Arkansas.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And a local note there as well, I did see where Chandler Taylor, who's from right here in Montgomery, I did watch him. I did catch this one. He hit one about 9 miles on Friday to get Alabama off to a good start behind the Eichholz, the pitcher. He looks like he's been kind of an all-or-nothing guy, I guess, Travis. But, he's got the look sometimes.
Yeah, Chandler's going to strike out a good bit. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but absolutely, if you make a mistake, he's going to typically make you pay for it, and he gives them some much-needed pop. Cody Henry has stepped that up a little bit this year in terms of power. Hunter Alexander can give them a little bit of that, but just consistency through the lineup has been a big problem for them.
Well, it'll be interesting tonight, and certainly this weekend, as you mentioned. Travis, football-wise, first scrimmage this Saturday?
No, I believe it's a week from Saturday.
Week from Saturday.
The schedule I'm looking at, just 2 practices this week, Tuesday and Thursday. And then I believe that's the coaches' clinic weekend. Next weekend they'll scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Friday scrimmage before A-Day. That's a little something different. Mm-hmm. So kind of a different format altogether this year.
By the way, as it all comes around, goes around, we talked about O.J. Howard. He's going to be throwing out the first pitch tonight. at the Capital City Classic in Montgomery. Travis, we'll cover all of it. He's got everything going on at with Alabama Athletics, BamaOnline.com. How do people access the information?
Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way will get you to us.
Great stuff. Great information on BamaOnline.com. Travis, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.